Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Biz Connect radio show this beautiful sunny Monday afternoon. We'll be with you for the next hour or so. We've got a fabulous mix of music chosen by our special studio guests today. We have a dedicated LinkedIn and Facebook show page. If you would like to follow us there, please search for Biz Connect radio show. And you can also tweet us. I still call it that. I can't get around to... I mean, you can X us @Kent_biz. Not that anybody uses it anymore. And do please keep an eye on our website, kentbizconnect.co.uk. We've got details of today's show guests and also information about upcoming show dates as well. If you're an Ashford-based business or organisation and you've got an interesting story to tell, we would love to hear from you and possibly invite you on the show. So do please get in touch with us through one of those aforementioned channels. But I think without further ado, what we should do now is invite our Ashford-based studio guests to introduce themselves. So to my right, we have...
Hi, good afternoon, Martin. I'm Bruce. I'm from Oasis, or Operational Accounting Systems, and we help businesses to get out of their systems more.
Yes. Brilliant. Thank you, Bruce. You're based up on the Eureka Business Park,
aren't you? We are, yes.
Fantastic, good. And to my left?
Good afternoon. Kevin Artlett here. I'm a director of a credit control consultancy and training business. We aim to focus on the front end processes for credit control and collections to prevent the problems at the back end. And we're based in Maidstone.
Brilliant. So I think it's fair to say we're going to be talking about all things productivity and cash flow today. I think those are the kind of the two key words for today's show. So if you're a small business owner out there tuned in, do stay with us, and hopefully there'll be some useful tips for you to take away in your business today. But I think what we're going to do now, as I said, we do like to play music chosen by our studio guests. We've got a couple of tracks chosen by Bruce. We've got Haim and we've got Disclosure. And when we come back, we're going to have more of a conversation with him. So do stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
Kent Biz Connect, connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the Biz Connect, a radio show today. As we were saying before the break, we're delighted to have two super guests in the studio with us today. We have Bruce Kidd from Oasis, Operational Accounting Systems, and we have Kevin Artlett from Pecunia Credit Management. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you
again.
Bruce, I'd like to start with you, if we can, please. Just give us a flavour for who Oasis are. You're based locally. You're on the Eureka Business Park, just outside Ashford. But give us a flavour for what you do with clients who are perhaps looking to improve on their business process and crucially, productivity.
So, to start with, Oasis is a software company. So that is the base of where we start with everything. But our real business is aimed at helping our customers, to improve their productivity through the systems we have in place with them. We try and bridge the gap between systems and things like accounting, payroll, stock between timesheets, importing, that kind of thing. But the reality is that these systems are often underused and they are disconnected from each other, so they don't talk to each other. Mm. So that's where we come in. We specialize in creating productivity or increasing productivity through automating processes. We reduce duplication in how people work, and we remove the reliance on manual workarounds, and more importantly, things like spreadsheets. That no one, that is disparate. No one ever kind of looks at these in totality in a business. They just don't work anymore. So if our focus is always solution-led. So what do I mean by that? So it means that we look at what's the problem. What's slowing people down? And then how do we fix that? So that's what we do, really. That's Oasis.
Are clients even aware that they've got an issue? Or is it more a case of you sitting down with them to highlight areas where they might be inefficient, for example?
I think productivity, like everything else, is when I speak to our customers and I kind of point out, why are you doing something? They are often not fully aware they are aware, but they're not fully aware of the impact it has on the business. Mm. So, for example, you know, if someone sits and they do a bunch of invoices manually, just 1,000 invoices manually, that's going to take you a lot of time. Whereas nowadays, you can import that through an AP automation system, have it read into the system, and therefore you can spend much less time looking at the data and making more proactive decisions about how you're going to deal with it, yeah, rather than manual processing. But when you point out that to a business or to a business owner, they very often look at you and go, gosh, I didn't realize we spent a whole week on inputting data in the system on something that could take us half an hour. So that's normally where my conversation starts around productivity. I feel that it's very much a learning process for some businesses, because we stagnate and we kind of go, I've always done it like this, it works for me, I'm happy, I'm making money. But in real terms is, you know, your productivity are perhaps at 50%. Yeah. It could be at 75 or at 80%.
Yeah.
And therefore, having the systems in place, which is what we do, help bridge that gap in that productivity. Yeah. So we can help you increase what you do with much less time. That has to increase your productivity.
That's really interesting point, isn't it? Because a lot of businesses, I think, at the moment are kind of struggling with with wage increases, for example, changes in employment law, national insurance, all of which is having a big impact on their overall kind of employment costs within the business. If they can free up time, if they can free people's time up to actually focus on more tasks in their day to day, then they may not even have that kind of dilemma in terms of, you know, can I actually afford to employ somebody new in the business?
That's absolutely right. I mean, throwing a human resource of people at an issue and thinking that's going to increase productivity actually has the opposite effect on what we need to do. And you're absolutely right. We can't afford nowadays to carry staff with the increased NI costs, with the increased cost that we face on a daily basis for our employees. We also need to keep them happy internally. So we just can't afford that. So we have to think on how are we working? How can we increase what we are doing? And that's where, you know, that's really where businesses can make the big difference internally, is how do we do that? So I call it friction. So if we can eliminate the friction that we're sitting with,
that's
in
a
the
good
business,
word.
Then that, when that friction is out of the way, things run smoother.
Yes.
If you put a bit of oil on that machine, it runs smoother, it doesn't make that noise. Mm. And that's exactly what we do. It's not helping put another machine next to it. We have the machine, we need to fix it, and we need to make it work as well as possible. Therefore, when we look at how we key data in, you know, does Mavis sit and she puts 100 invoices in? She doesn't need to do that.
No.
You know, she can spend her time looking at why are people not paying us, rather than, you know, kind of stuff.
Let's bring Kevin in at that point, because, you know, that's obviously your speciality, Kevin. And we were talking off air about the fact that, you know, quite often businesses are just looking at the wrong KPIs. They might... Or not digging deep enough into what the data is really telling them.
Well, I think that's right, Martin and Bruce. I see KPIs are set or sometimes agreed, hopefully agreed with the personnel, targets, goals. But there isn't really that discussion about how they're going to achieve those. Mm. And I talk about prioritisation and even reprioritisation when things are going slightly awry. Are we spending a lot of our time on the easier stuff where the money, for example, is coming in, and not spending enough time on those more difficult accounts? There might be a query. We might have referred it to somewhere else within the organisation, and we're waiting for a response. At the end of the day, we're not really being, to use Bruce's terminology, we're not being productive enough.
Yeah.
We're not focusing our energies where we should be doing it. And I think that sometimes business owners, it's difficult because we haven't sometimes got the time to sit back and take what I call blue sky thinking. You sit back and look at the business, and that's why I think people like ourselves, we can go in, we have a third eye, if you like, a neutral outlook on the whole thing, and we can see things maybe that you haven't considered. And I just think it's important that people, you know, a short-term expenditure is a long-term investment in getting someone just to look at the processes, the way we do things, all at the beginning,
yeah,
because it stops or minimises those problems at the back end.
So Bruce, when it comes to having this conversation, with clients, I think firstly, businesses shouldn't think of you as a software company. You are very much sort of, you are business productivity improvement specialists. That's your kind of your raison d'être, isn't it?
That is entirely right. Yeah. I mean, we already changed from calling ourselves Operational Accounting Systems to Oasis because people thought we were accountants.
Yes.
So I was like, short-term Oasis is better. Now I can say we're a software company, but we are much more than just a software company because we actually are consultative partners to every single customer we have. We spent a lot of time on their business to make it work for them because if we do that, they remain my customer.
Yeah.
Because remember, we work on a really nice model of income where you have a license every year, you have to pay. So you don't have a choice in doing that if you're going to use the software.
Yeah.
So it works for us, but it means that we are so much more than just software.
And
we
and you're opening
processes and everything that works within.
Yeah, your opening gambit should almost be, I'll save you a half a day a week of a middle manager. What does that equal in your business? What will that mean for your business?
It's exactly right. I mean, when people do ask me what we do, I always start with we help businesses.
Yeah.
So that is what we do. I don't start with we sell software because it totally minimizes the actual impact we have on the customers we deal with. We save some of these guys millions of pounds in the processes that we've introduced. Yeah. Or written, developed, because that's what we can do to the software, to make it work for them. Whether it's a whole job processing module that tracks all numbers and traceability from a load of fruit that comes into egg packets that go out into a supermarket, we have written the whole process that manages that. And in each process there is reporting and all that kind of stuff, which is, you can't do that manually.
We're mentioning the word process a lot.
I know.
But it is so important, isn't it? And I think, businesses get used to doing things in a certain way, and that's the way we've always done it, when actually what you always need to do is turn that on its head and say, well, look, let's pick it apart piece by piece and let's see how we can make it better. And I'm a golf nut, and I was up till midnight watching the golf, a US Open last night from Shinnecock Hills in New York. And the one thing that the caddy was telling his, Wyndham Clark, his player, after every consultation was, follow the process.
Yeah.
So we've talked about it, we know what we're going to do, now we just need to execute it. And it's so important, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I have a thing here that says, if you scale a broken process, you don't grow, you just get more expensive problems.
Yeah.
And you know what? That is absolutely true. I personally, I like a process because it defines what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
It sets boundaries on something I need to do. Mm-hmm. So I quite like a process.
Yeah.
They don't always work, but if you have the right process in place, there's no question that it's going to work for your company.
Yeah. And other
what
people
we try and do with and everybody around you that has
can
to work
follow that.
You.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we try and do.
Mm-hmm.
I know process is definitely overused, but it is what it is,
So, I mean, the value, I think, really, then, is for you to come into a business and, I guess, you have a set of questions where you ask, the business owner and middle managers, perhaps, how do you do this?
Absolutely.
What's your role and how do you do it?
Absolutely. And what it comes back to? What process do you follow
exactly.
in the business?
Of course.
If you do a sale, where do you start?
Yeah.
What is it you do next?
Yeah.
Do you print it out? Do you email it out? So I sit down and I try and figure out exactly what each person does in the organization.
Yeah.
And then I try and bring that together with a process that can solve the disparateness of what each person does.
And I think it's fair to say, generally speaking, the more paperwork, the more folders there are in an office.
You've no idea.
The more manually process-driven that business is going to be. I was with my accountant a few weeks back. A lady that was working in that business has now taken over the business from the person that's retiring. And for 500 odd clients, they've got to manually go through a change of address, you know, and there's probably, you know, HMRC communication, company's house communication. This all has to be replicated for every single client manually, you know, with new paperwork that has to be signed by the client and then returned to company's house or HMRC. And I said to him, my God, how long is this taking you? And there was literally months of work.
Absolutely.
You know, because that's an example of an inefficient manual process.
Oh,
you know, it has to be done, you know, in that way, you know, on a piece of paper, physically signed. It can't be done electronically.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. So, on that note, you know, obviously that takes time and you need to kind of ingrain yourself in the business. Do you, how do you kickstart that conversation? Do you offer, you know, clients an initial conversation at your cost? Perhaps, you know, they've identified a specific issue they want to discuss with you, or, you know, how does it work, Bruce?
Absolutely. So the most of the customers I talk with comes from internally. So it would be customers who've been Oasis customers for a really long time, they've been using our systems, and perhaps they're not on the latest versions, or their business has changed over the years, and they need to change something internally. For example, I'm currently working on a customer who's got an Access database with everything they do, but they also have the Opera system that we supply. But the two don't talk to each other, firstly. They've written the Access database themselves. It's at the end of its life because the person who wrote it is retiring. Mm-hmm. It's a legacy system. No one else knows how it works. Mm-hmm. So we need to bring that into Opera. So that mm-hmm. is the kind of mm-hmm. stuff we are kind of up against. Mm-hmm. It's very often businesses that's been going a long time mm-hmm. that just were so happy with how they've been working, mm-hmm. and then suddenly they come up against an issue mm-hmm. that can't be solved. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly we need to take over and we need to help them in this instance, like we do with these customers.
That was a really good example, you know. Yeah. So-and-so's retiring from the business. They've been with us for 30 years. They do all of that, but no one else knows how it works.
That's the problem. You've no idea how many businesses yeah. have someone like that inside.
Yeah.
That, God, can't imagine if Joe goes, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
You know, or if Sam goes, what are we going to do? So, yeah, that is the kind of thing we deal with. Mm. I go in, I really try and focus these customers on how they work internally.
Yeah.
You know, what their processes are, what the outcome is they expect from the process. Mm. And then I try and automate what happens from the first entry to the last entry.
Yeah.
So, simple example, this company, they are a steel fabricating works. Each order that they sign through a sales rep goes through a quote that is a specific finished item from a coil mm-hmm. of material. When they put the order in, that order needs to go through to the factory so that they make the material. That then comes back into the system. No one needs to type anything in. That manages through to, okay, it's been done. We can deliver it now through an electronic system on a truck that goes out on a certain route. Mm. That comes back, and we invoice and email the invoice before the truck is back at the thing. Mm. So it minimizes the whole manual process. It also eliminates any errors.
Of course.
Because, you know, suddenly, like, I don't have someone in the factory who could have said, I've put this on the truck when they didn't, because I need to wait for a piece of paper that's
inside, yeah, yeah.
for example. Mm. And that's how they've been working. So this is going to totally revolutionize how they work
and
introducing a bit more digital aspect to the business. So we're going to work all this process through, but at the end of the day, we're going to then put your stuff that goes out on a truck. Yeah. The delivery notes is digitally sent to the handheld in the truck, and they deliver customer signs. For delivery, takes a picture and we move on. And that comes back to the system. And so, yeah, that's the kind of automation we do and the kind of thing I deal with our customers.
I love it. So what's the best way for people to get in touch with you? Is it through your website or through you personally? I mean, you know, I can just sort of see a situation where I just want to pick up the phone, have a chat with you. Bruce, I need to get you in. Come and see me next week for half an hour.
Absolutely.
How do I get in touch?
My contact details as well, firstly on our website, www.oasis.co.uk. You'll find me on there with everything we do, but also I'm really active on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So I'm always kind of got something going on LinkedIn. The company has also got a company page on LinkedIn, so I'm contactable through all of that. And of course, there's a chat window that my AI assistant has created on the website, and that will come through back to me as
Brilliant.
Well.
Brilliant. Okay, so it's Bruce Kidd, Operational Accounting Systems, Oasis.
That's correct, yes.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Bruce, for now, thank you so
much.
I think what we're going to do is we're going to play a little bit more music. Kevin, we've got one of your chosen tracks today. We've got Roxy Music, Virginia Plain. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about credit control and what businesses should be thinking about in that space. Do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We've just been told by Redders that there was a problem with Bruce's microphone during his interview. So I do hope that our listeners out there today were able to still hear Bruce. Probably a little bit echoey from Kevin's microphone, but we'll recap anyway towards the end of the show. But I think what we're going to do now, if we can, is have a chat with Kevin Artlett from Pecunia Credit Management. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I was looking back through our records, and I think the last time you were on air with us was October 2020.
I know. I don't know what I've done to upset anybody. and even then it was by telephone, so I never came to the studio. I think we were still in the throes of COVID in October.
Yeah, unbelievable. But I just don't know where that time has gone.
No, well, we're still here.
Yeah, and we're still talking about the same problems, whether it's productivity we've just been talking about with Bruce, or, you know, credit management and, you know, getting paid, because, you know, fundamentally that's what we're talking about, isn't it?
It is, and all the time we keep seeing statistics almost every month, whether it be from the government, whether it be through surveys, about the level of debt and the amount of unpaid invoices increases every month. The insolvencies are also on the rise as well. And I think businesses need to protect themselves a lot more. I think there's a lot more that they can do. And when I say that, it's all about making sure we get it right at the outset.
Mm. So we were talking about process and, you know, having something written down that clearly states, you know, how you manage a payment process within your business, from invoice, whether it's, you know, automated or, you know, as it should be, or created manually, as Bruce was talking about, through to, well, what happens if we don't actually get paid on the end of that?
Well, indeed. And Martin, I would go back further than the invoice being raised. It goes right back to the relationship. That lead that's come in, is it a call? Is it a lead from a salesperson? You've got to capture all the data. Know your customer. What legal status are they? Limited company, partnership, sole trader. All this is absolutely vital if you have to follow up, hopefully not, but follow up through legal action. Mm. You also need to know all the processes that your customer has to follow to get your invoices authorized for payment. Mm-hmm. Because unless you know that, unless you know who the contact is if the payment is late, you're going to have a delays and it's going to impact the cash flow. And all this is about invoices being paid late. Yeah. There's quite a lot that we can do, I think, between us to actually improve the way we get paid, and it will facilitate much earlier payments.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a really good example. I've got a friend who was struggling to get paid by a client that they've had a relationship with for a long, long time, because the key person within the client's business had actually changed. And as part of that change process, and again, going back to what Bruce was talking about, the actual issuing of purchase orders had become a requirement when the new person came into the business. But of course, that wasn't communicated to my friend, who was just continuing to invoice in the way that they had been. But of course, none of it was being paid, because there was a miscommunication there between what the expectation was on the part of the client and what her expectation was in terms of, you know, sending an invoice in and expecting it to be paid within 30 days.
And we see this all too often. Lots of people are using purchase order numbers now. And that's the first kickback when the invoice goes out, or the first telephone call goes in, because the payment's overdue. Mm. Well, we can't pass the invoice for payment because we don't have a purchase order number. All of this, we should gather this information at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Every customer should be signing whether it be manual, hopefully more automated, online, what I call a credit application form or customer take-on form. In that, you put the questions in to capture all the information that you need to know about that customer. Who do I contact for payment? What are their bank details? If they got a trading address different to a head office? All of this, do I need purchase orders? Mm. If we have that, you know, our collector, our credit controller, is armed with information. Mm-hmm. He or she then know who to go to. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of this should be laid down. We talk about process and documentation. Mm-hmm. I'm a big advocate that every business, no matter how big or small, should have a credit policy. I mentioned that just now, mm-hmm. and I will bang on about that. It doesn't need to be onerous, but it really sets the benchmark for credit control. It should be one of the key departments of any organisation.
And that should be in your terms and conditions ultimately as well, shouldn't it?
Absolutely.
You don't necessarily, you know, need to publish that you know, openly with your clients and let them have that, but certainly your terms and conditions need to reflect what that credit control policy is within the business.
It should. And the terms and conditions, you should actually have everything in there, including your standard payment terms. Mm-hmm. And you should actually ask and make sure that your customer signs those terms and conditions before you start trading. Mm-hmm. Then you have no dispute about, well, I wasn't too sure, I thought it was 45 days, I thought it was 60. Mm-hmm. Get it all done at the beginning. Yeah. It is absolutely so important. If we put our focus on that, mm-hmm. element, the beginning rather than the end, I'm confident that we will free up a lot more cash within our businesses.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess another thing that many people may not be aware of is, you know, there are statutory payment terms in the absence, God forbid, of all of this, you know, which are 30 days, aren't they, from invoice date. So I think the other issue, you know, with all of this is the reluctance on the part of the business to actually ask for payment for a job that's being done in good faith.
Well, I find this element quite difficult to comprehend because when you ask for payment, you're only asking your customer to fulfil their part of the contract or the sales agreement. Mm. You've done your bit. You've provided the goods, the service, the product, whatever it may be. So why should we hold back contacting the customer if the payment is overdue? I'm actually a big supporter of actually, certainly with our key accounts, our large customers, is actually contacting them before payment is due to make sure there are not going to be any unforeseen problems. You're expecting 10,000 by Friday. You phone them on Monday and they say, oh, well, we've only got £2,000 processed so far. It highlights a problem. You've got a few days to sort that out. Mm. And the other thing I would say is in business to business, in particular, there is a trend. I know we're worried about losing our customers, but we advocate and we are very good at educating businesses in how to collect payment without losing the goodwill. We pride ourselves in that. And it's not about being aggressive. We hate aggressiveness at all. Aggression, we are all about, yes, being a little bit, you know, serious, assertive, but we don't want to go and lose the customers. But if you and I fail to pay our credit card on time, or we went over our overdraft, the bank hits us immediately.
Yes.
They don't wait a week and think, oh, I ought to phone them up. Or
there's a late payment fee.
Yeah, there's a late payment fee applied as well. Mm-hmm. And yes, businesses in the UK, all business to businesses, have the option of using the Late Payment Act of 1998 to apply late payment interest and compensation. And as
So that's base plus 8%, is it still,
yeah,
I think?
Yeah, yes, but there's also a compensation fee for every overdue invoice. Mm-hmm. So it's £40 for invoices up to £1,000, mm-hmm. £70 up to £10,000, and £100 per invoice after over £10,000.
So, you know, use the law.
Yes, use it.
It's there for a reason, isn't it?
And, yeah,
you know, we need to be, you know, if you are concerned about that, look up things like, you know, the fair or prompt payment code. I think there's a new commercial payments bill in the pipeline.
That's
as
in
well.
The pipeline, yeah. The prompt payment code finished in December 2024. Mm, it's the fair payment code is in there now. But firms actually have to demonstrate their commitment and ability to actually, that they are paying within those terms to be members of that code, if you like. Yeah, and there's an automated two-year recycling reassessment as well.
So, you know, don't be afraid to quote that. You know, I would suggest, you know, if you have got a particularly, you know, late paying customer.
Absolutely.
You know, remind them of that. And as Bruce was saying, in you know, when he opened the show, you know, understand not just kind of a broad set of KPIs, but within there, you know, actually we've got some pinch points here with some specific customers that have been identified because they've been flagged up automatically on the system.
Absolutely. Again, systems can help you with kind of achieving much better overall credit control or debt management within your organization. There's no question about it. I mean, but with credit control, I totally agree with Kevin. There is an 100% manual element that you can't get away from. Mm. You know, when you're dealing with sensitive, calling a customer because they owe you a lot of money could be quite a sensitive thing. Mm. So you need to get it right. It's not something an AI can do. It's not something an email is going to do right for you. Yes, an email is fine, but you have to have that manual content as well when it comes to this. What I really liked was what you said, and we used this actually during COVID, because you don't know if people were going to pay you or not, and all businesses were in this problem. So we did preemptive credit control. So you kind of know when licenses are coming up or when invoices are coming up due. So weeks before, I would email out saying, you know, this is coming up. On that day, that's going to be the amount. Are you going to be okay? Pay it. Are we going to expect a payment on the right date, etc., etc.? But what it did was open up conversations to those that were having issues. Mm. And then we could proactively help them pay their accounts on time. It also didn't make them feel like we are hounding them for money.
Sure.
Because we are talking to you even before it's due, preempting might there be a problem.
That
was a really good system, and I actually still use that.
Yes.
Today.
Yeah. And we can help
it
them.
Really works. Mm. Yeah.
But again, in the first instance, all of that was facilitated through intelligence.
Correct.
About the business.
Correct.
You know, actually, I can run a report that's going to tell me, you know, where that problem's going to arise.
Absolutely. And it's about getting the things right. You know, it's exactly what Kevin said. You know, are you going to be doing business with someone? You need to be doing a credit check beforehand. You need to have the right information, the right company information. Who are you invoicing? If I don't get a PO, if I make 100 grand sales, like, they're just going to go, no, I'm not paying you. You know, it kind of has to, you have to get those things right in advance. I know it's sometimes difficult in bigger companies, but yeah, you have to get those things
right to save
your business.
I was looking at some of the stats around this for today, and late payments cost the UK economy around about £11 billion annually. But this is the key thing for me, and force nearly 40 businesses to close every day. You know, you've got to ask yourself that question. You know, how important is there a customer relationship where, you know, I don't actually get paid for what I do, and actually it could result in my business closing because I haven't got the cash flow to pay staff, or, you know,
absolutely,
I've got wasted resource chasing invoices, you know, that are late unnecessarily. The knock-on effects are huge, aren't they? So, you know.
But they are, and we need to cultivate the relationships to know when a problem arises. We look at early warning signs. We do a lot of work at the moment with companies on identifying red flags, which are all the warning signs that you can spot. Avoiding calls, not answering emails, raising queries, spurious queries or issues that they've never raised before. Mm. Telling you that the payment run was last week. Mm. Any business can do a manual, faster payment run. There's no one around to authorise the payments. You know, if there was an emergency in that business, there would be somebody around designated to do stuff. What I'm trying to say here, and where we do a lot of our work in upskilling, I used to use the word training, but I always think it sounds like training a monkey. Upskilling our credit control people to ask the right questions, probe, and don't accept everything you're told at face value. And we teach people to show them how to do it without you coming across as sarcastic or accusing them of lying. We need to challenge what we're being told, because it will actually unearth, and you will find you get to the bottom of what the problem is, invariably, it's your customer's got a cash flow problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're more proactive, and the business knows that you're proactive, the chances are you'll get paid before anybody else as well.
Well, you will. We find a lot of businesses can't pay all of their suppliers every month. So they'll divide it into three categories. The critical suppliers, so the utilities and the banks. Other than that, it would be those that shout the loudest. And when I say shout the loudest, I don't literally mean shout and threaten. It's those that keep contact. Those that stay silent or just follow. I'm not against a cycle of where you send out letters and emails and make phone calls, but your customer soon, your customer always pays late, soon gets to know your cycle, and they will just use it to their advantage. We should change things around, and we educate, and we try and really encourage businesses to change the way they operate.
So upskilling, making sure that you know there is a bona fide credit management process in place, credit control, terms and conditions. That's a key part of what you do in terms of educating businesses. Similar, to what Bruce does in terms of, productivity. It's sometimes the business, the managers in a business just can't see it. And it's your job to kind of open their eyes to what they could be doing and the opportunity. But I guess
I think both of us are in the business of educating.
I think we are.
Because it's an education. It's like lift the sleeve over your eyes and see what's happening in your business.
Yes. And let's just have a look and just give you a third eye view.
Absolutely
You won't believe. We found the same in our own business. We've had the same thing with us. We've had a business coach come in and look at us previously, and they spotted things that we haven't picked up before.
And if you can bring debtor days, for example, down from 60 to 45, that's going to have a massive impact in the business, isn't it?
Exactly. It does. Yeah. When you price an invoice up, you price a job up, you price that with the idea that you're going to get paid within those payment terms. Let's say they're 30 days. Mm. Every day they're late, it eats into your profit. Mm. You get to a point where you're not even making a profit on that invoice.
Yeah.
But what you can do with the profit, if they pay on time, is you can reinvest back in the business. You can upgrade the systems. You can refurbish the office. There's lots of things that you can do. It's just so crucial.
Yeah.
It's not about profit, it's about cash flow.
Yeah. Oh, I've got a chunk of money I never used to have at the end of the month now. What can I do with that? So, Kevin, give us a shout-out, please, for your contact details, website, how people can get in touch with you if you can. So again, I'm assuming you're on LinkedIn.
I'm on LinkedIn. We have a website which is pecunia2016.co.uk. There is a contact page on there. People can contact us just by filling in a very brief form with your contact details, a rough outline of what you'd like to talk about, and we will get back to you pretty quickly. We fully acknowledge we do attend a lot of networking events. But people sometimes are a bit reluctant to come and actually talk to us in front of other people because they might be perceived as having financial problems, which they don't necessarily have, of course. But a lot of our work comes sort of third party or quiet calls or visits to the website. So, please get in contact. And Tracy and I are both on LinkedIn as well.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Good. Well, thanks. Thanks for now. I think what we're going to do, we've got one more of your tracks to play. We've got AC/DC. Back in Black, and then when we come back, we're just going to bring the two of you together just for some closing thoughts before we end the show. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final couple of minutes today of the Biz Connect radio show. We've had a fascinating conversation with our studio guests today all around productivity, Bruce Kidd from Oasis, and Kevin Artlett talking about credit management. Guys, what I'd like to do is just kind of close today with some final thoughts in terms of, a call to action from your side in terms of what businesses should be thinking about when it comes to improving their business process, being more productive, getting half a day back of a middle manager, for example, in a business that could be employed doing something else. And also, how can we put more money in our bank account at the end of every month? So, Bruce, over to you. Just some closing thoughts.
Yeah, I just want to say it was really interesting to listen to Kevin about everything he said, because
I realized how closely cash flow and productivity actually are linked with each other, and that even the best run businesses fall apart if the money isn't coming in at the end of the day. So for me, if I had one or a couple of takeaways really, but if I had one takeaway for business owners listening today, it would be to take a step back and look at how your business actually runs on a day-to-day basis. Because this is where you're going to see where are the delays. You're going to see where people are double handling tasks. You're going to see where spreadsheets are filling the gap, especially the spreadsheets filling the gap. People don't realize what a huge amount of time that takes. That's where the opportunity is in your business. That's where the opportunities lie to increase your productivity and to look at how we run our businesses internally. Because just a small improvement actually has a massive impact on the business.
So give us a shout out again for your contact details, please, Bruce.
So you can find me, Bruce Kidd, on LinkedIn. Firstly, I'm Bruce Kidd on LinkedIn. The company page, Operational Accounting Systems, is also on LinkedIn. You can contact me through there. Our website, all the www.oasis.co.uk. There's a chat box. You can contact me. I manage the chats that come through as one of my hats. But all the phone numbers and everything is on there, also, as well as the software. So you can get a feel of what it is we do and how we develop what we do. But my details are on there. And that's where you can contact me.
Thank you, Bruce. Kevin, just some closing thoughts from you as well in terms of credit management process, all of that.
Well, I think to take away now, the first thing I would do is have a look at all your overdue accounts. Have a look at where the situation is, what's holding up that payment now. And then also look back a little bit yourself to see, could that have been prevented or minimised if I did something a bit earlier in the process? I'm all for being proactive. Other than that, I'm saying make sure we have people that are doing the collecting work, telephoning, emailing, that have the right skill sets. You don't need somebody who's timid. You need somebody who's assertive and who's not going to get the runaway from Fred or Frida. And my other takeaway is monitor the payments. Act quickly on the deteriorating accounts. Don't wait. The longer we wait, the more likely it is you're not going to get payment.
Yeah, there's a reason you haven't been paid, and actually delaying... It's just delaying the inevitable, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Kevin, just a final shout-out for your website as well. It's all the W's, pecunia2016.co.uk, and like Bruce, you're also, yourself and Tracy Westall are active on LinkedIn.
We are active on LinkedIn, uh-huh. Both personally and through the company LinkedIn page as well. Good. And our telephone numbers and contact page is on there too.
On there, fantastic. Good. Well, we have come to the end of the show today. We are running into the news slightly, but you know, there's nothing interesting in the news. We all know what that's all about today. So hopefully you've enjoyed our conversation with our fabulous studio guests. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with two more guests as well. After the news, we've got a bit of rewind coming up, so I hope you enjoy that. I won't give it away because I know Redders will be doing his thing when he comes on at 3 o'clock. So thank you for tuning in today, and we'll be back with you in a couple of weeks' time. Bye for now. 107.1 Radio Ashford.